Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Hip Hop Sports Report Podcast coming at you guys live from Las Vegas, Nevada, on location for the big fight between Floyd Money Mayweather and Manny Pac-Man Pacquiao here on what is now, I guess, on the East Coast, Sunday, May the 3rd. Where we're at is still Saturday night, May the 2nd, 2015. I'm your host, Jay Hicks. Thank you for joining us this evening. We got a very, very special podcast. You know, I know I say that a lot, but we have a very, very special podcast. You know, I really mean that, y'all. It's not like I'm lying before, but I really mean it this time. This is critical that you understand how much of a blessing it was for us to come together on this occasion for this podcast. Because as I stated, we are live in Las Vegas, Nevada. And yes, I understand the irony of saying that we're live on a podcast. Yes, that makes no sense whatsoever. But that's okay. That's okay. We're not here to make sense. We're just here to have a good time this evening. So again, and let me shout out the website again for those of you who are new. Thank you for listening. Again, I'm your host, Jay Hicks. HipHopSportsReport.com is the website. Again, you can hit us on Twitter at HHSReport and, of course, at Facebook, Facebook.com/HHSReport. We have a lot of great new things coming to the website, so please stay tuned. I cannot emphasize that enough. Of course, the podcast is on iTunes, so please get at us there. Subscribe to the podcast, rate it, give us a high rating, because you know we got the dopest podcast out on the internet right now, and so we're about to get it cracking real quick. We're going to talk about the big fight again. Obviously, Floyd Mayweather just defeated Manny Pacquiao by unanimous decision. You all saw it. We know you all saw it. And here to break down everything that happened tonight, our very special guest. First of all, a man who's no stranger to the podcast, Mr. Vince Hicks, Cleveland, Ohio native, will be joining us this evening. He's my cousin. He's my family. I love him. And I have another cousin who's joining us this evening, Mr. Michael Hicks, for the first time, I believe, on the podcast. He will be joining us this evening. And also, Mr. Michael Snipes. What's your name in your barbershop, Mike?
Executive Cuts.
Executive Cuts in Las Vegas, Nevada. If you got a haircut, if you need a haircut and you're in Las Vegas, you need to go to Executive Cuts like yesterday. You know what I'm saying? Because they'll hook you up. They hook up my cousin Mike. They hook up my pops. They hook up everybody. Keep you looking fresh. He's joining the podcast this evening. We have visitors joining the podcast.
In the gallery.
In the gallery. Right? Yeah. Right? And my brother, author extraordinaire Kenneth Hicks, will be joining us momentarily. But first, ladies and gents, let's get into this fight. Now,
let's get it on.
Floyd was the favorite coming in. We all know that. Floyd was expected to win. He was 47-0 coming into tonight's fight against Manny Pacquiao, who I think, if I'm not mistaken, was 57-5-1. I think 57-5-2. Okay, two draws on his record. There's been a lot of hype, pomp, and circumstance surrounding this fight going back many years. This fight was at least 5, maybe even more like 10 years in the making. And it finally happened. We just saw it with our own two eyes. And Floyd Mayweather dominated the fight. As you heard me say on the Rundown Sports podcast with my man CL, the main event Palmer, a couple of weeks ago, I told you guys that Floyd Mayweather was going to win this fight, and he did. Now, take us through the fight, which you guys saw, Mike and Vince. I mean, what was the difference in your opinion? Why was it that Floyd Mayweather was victorious this evening? Anybody who wants the floor.
Let me start first. I'm going to tell you on a layman's point of view, non-technical, just basically observing. I felt that Manny Pacquiao was scared of Floyd. I felt that he gave him too much respect for the first 2 to 3 rounds. You saw him when he did try to go into Floyd. Floyd was able to either deflect his punches and or give him something that didn't count for anything. So he would give him a shoulder or give him, you know, a block, and then Manny would get a chance to kind of do his little Manny Fury thing, but it was ineffective. He had no real power punching ability, and I think he realized that by round 6, and so the most of the fight he was frustrated because you can't hit what you can't see, and you definitely can't hurt what you can't hit. And he was being frustrated because he wasn't even able to see Floyd. And to me, it seemed like a overpaid sparring match, to be honest with you. And as a paying pay-per-view subscriber, I feel somewhat bamboozled. And I felt that I drank the Kool-Aid because I thought that it was going to be the fight of the year. I really did. And I paid for that, you know? And then I was not giving my money, so.
Well, you were paid for a good time. And right. And you were a very gracious host this evening, because we're in your crib as we speak. We're in your movie room, because my cousin is caked up like that. So, yeah, he's got a movie room in the crib. I'm sitting in the theater as we speak. And, yes, I'm not lying. I mean, he has a movie theater in the crib. And so we are sitting in here doing this podcast. And Vince, you talked about this quite a bit. Anybody that kind of went into this fight expecting a slugfest or expecting the second coming of Arturo Gatti and Mickey Ward was going to be disappointed, right?
Right. Exactly. You know, Floyd is Floyd Mayweather. Floyd is a boxer extraordinaire. The art of boxing is hit and not be hit. So you can call it boring. You can call it running. You can call it whatever you want to call it. I call it boxing. I call it a true professional at his sport. I told everybody from when the fight could have been made 5-6 years ago till now, Manny Pacquiao didn't have a chance but a one-punch knockout. Because Floyd does everything. They like, oh, even Mike Tyson, who's a student of the sport, says, oh, Manny Pacquiao is going to overwhelm Floyd with the amount of punches he throws. It's never going to happen.
Well, one of your biggest points was that Manny was going to get in the ring and he was going to not punch. And that's what we talked about as we watched the fight together, was that Floyd Mayweather dictated tempo from the word go. He was the bigger fighter. He had the reach. Manny had to lunge at Floyd to try to make contact with him. It didn't go well. You know what I mean? And Floyd Mayweather just—it was his style. It was his style of a fight. It was a boxing fight. And Manny Pacquiao, he can box, but he's a slugger. He likes to brawl.
He's not a boxer with a true boxer. He can outbox guys that don't box.
Right.
But he's not a boxer with a true boxer. And I try to tell people from years on end, you know what I'm saying, that Floyd Mayweather, you can say what you want about it, his personality or whatever, he's a true professional at what he does. Mm-hmm. And right tonight showed his true defensive prowess. Manny Pacquiao, Mr. Volume Punches Unlimited, offensive puncher of the he throws punches from every angle, landed 81 punches in a 12-round fight.
Right.
I'm not the smartest dude on the planet.
That's less than 10
punches
around.
For a guy that has been filled his life on throwing 100 punches and landing 50 punches around.
But
that's what he does.
Manny Pacquiao throwing that many punches.
Because that's what Floyd does defensively.
Juan Marquez
who knocked out Manny Pacquiao. Right. They fought four great fights, and I give Marquez 3 out of 4, which nobody gave him. But Marquez is a Hall of Fame fighter. He landed 68 punches against Floyd Mayweather, or 69 punches in a 12-round fight. Floyd makes you fight his fight.
Right.
He makes you fight his fight. So from the beginning of the fight, when Pacquiao threw 11 punches and landed 3 punches in the first round, and threw 14 punches and landed 6 punches in the second round, it was a Floyd fight regardless. Right. It was never going to be a Pacquiao fight.
Yeah. Go ahead, Mike Snipes. Get in on this, man. What was your take on the fight?
My take is, it's not the usual Manny Pacquiao. Floyd came in and, like everybody is saying, in agreement, slowed him down to that, from that fast pace. I'm going to just come in and try to slug you to death. But my hat goes off to Floyd, because, first of all, I love boxing. That's my favorite sport out of all sports. I love a lot of sports, but boxing is my favorite, right? So I really watch it. I try to study it. But at the same time, my hat goes off to him for him being so elusive. You know what I'm saying? And being able to, take a few punches and take them good, but then also make dude miss. Because he's supposed to, everybody talking about all these punches he throw, but you want to throw him from the angle. Well, I got the angle to get out of the way of that move. And then counter you.
Bam. Word.
You get what I'm saying?
Word.
And I think a lot of people, like you said before, Vince, they always want to, his personality, blah, blah, all that. I got all this money, I'm Money Mayweather. You know, people don't really look at the bigger picture of it.
Great.
When they showed the film when he was a younger dude, people are not in their register and in their mind, you got Roger and Floyd Sr. They
two professionals.
He's under the tutelage of these dudes.
Yeah.
And they still with him. And like you said, he's a professional at what he do. He don't take it, ain't for no joke.
It ain't.
And it gets proven in the ring.
Yeah.
You don't gotta go out there and bash nobody and cut them and bleed them and knock them out. But when you on the science of it, it's just like it's kinda like ballet, you know what I'm saying? It's like just like a little dance.
That's a funny juxtaposition.
It is. You know what I mean?
It's exactly like ballet because I'm not a ballet dude. It's not exciting to me. So that's why people say the fights are not exciting.
Well, I was just going to say.
But if you are a ballet aficionado, you think ballet is great because you understand the subtle nuances and the art form of it.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? And that's what Floyd does. I'm a boxer extraordinaire. Yeah. Like, people talk about boxing. I like boxing since this, and I start watching Floyd Mayweather. Was born in 1976. I remember, you know what I'm saying, watching Aaron Pryor and Alexa Arguello in like 1982. So I've watched boxing all my whole life. And I know the sport. And I know boxing and what boxing is about. It's not about two people punching each other in the face. That's a fight. Mm-hmm. You can do that.
That's a fool's fight.
It's a fight. You can do it on the street.
Right.
You can do it in the bar. You can do it in the you can do it anywhere.
World star fights.
Yeah, you can do it anywhere. But a boxing match is hit and not be hit. And the dude is professional at it. And people don't understand that like I said, they don't like his persona. And it's understandable.
He brings that on himself.
Understand that it's a money maker.
He's a cash king.
But I mean, he did that. That's like it's like it's like Dennis Rodman dressing up in a dress and playing. He's playing a role to make money. It's a role to make money.
But who's to say? Like I was talking to somebody earlier, and I said, you know, they wanted to go for Pacquiao or whatever, and I asked them why, and they really didn't have no real solid reason other than they think Floyd Mayweather is too arrogant and too brash and bold. And, you know, I get to thinking about Muhammad Ali and Malcolm X and cats like that, man, that say what they want to say and say what they mean and don't pull no punches. And they label it like, okay, he's conceited. But I said it's many other people that are in different positions but have enormous success.
Yeah.
And they're considered confident, you know?
Well, you raise an interesting point, Mike, because if you look at Floyd Mayweather, his whole career he's been that way. He's been that way from the very beginning. And in order to get to the pinnacle of your profession, wouldn't it stand to reason that you would need some of that confidence?
Even arrogance, you would need arrogance to get to that point.
Can I say one thing? You made, help me out here, what did he make, like $180 million?
I heard he made $180 million.
That was just the purse.
That was the purse.
Purse alone. That's
you
not counting the gate.
You have a man in this lifetime makes $180 million in one day of work. In my opinion, you should talk as much stuff as you want because you've proven it.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? The proof is
in the pudding. Who else has done that?
Who's done that? And a very small, like the Koch brothers, you know, like, you know, Bill Gates on a given day, or, you know, just rare people, a sheik does things like that, $180 million to $200 million in one performance. And you're not a rocket scientist. You're not a Rhodes Scholar. You haven't met the pinnacles of society's ideal of success.
Right.
And you still made more money than all of them. You didn't go to Princeton, but yet you made more money than all the people who've gone to Princeton. You didn't barely graduate. And so you now break the mold of, what do you tell the kids?
Yeah.
Okay, you either go to school, go to college, be a scholar, and make this money, or be able to box real good. Or, you know what I'm saying? Because, listen, how do you not give him some sort of prop for making $180 million?
Well, here's the thing. Floyd Mayweather, I don't think he's the most educated guy as far as formal education is concerned, but he's far from a dummy.
Exactly. Absolutely.
And, when you look at what he's done, look at after he broke away from Bob Arum, mm-hmm. and he started Mayweather Promotions, and he started grossing all this money off his own fights and then dictating the terms of all of his fights. That's not an accident.
Absolutely.
It's not an accident that he comes away with all this money. But you kind of made a connection almost when talking about, you know, how kids look at him and everything like that. And I think that's why a lot of people dislike him, is because they look at him and they see the persona, which you referenced earlier, Vince. But in addition to that, they don't appreciate the way he's treated women. They don't appreciate a lot of the extracurricular things that happen away from the ring. And they are put off by all of that. And even on Facebook this evening, because I told cats 5, 6, 7 years ago that Manny Pacquiao couldn't mess with Floyd Mayweather.
Right.
And I'm a Manny Pacquiao fan. I actually like Manny Pacquiao, but he never stood a chance in this fight, in my opinion. And I told people long ago, and I went back to Facebook tonight and told the same people that, you know, I'm friends with back, that I was friends with back then, the same thing now. Like, look, this was never a contest. And I even saw the responses of either A, this fight was boring and I didn't see enough action, or B, how can certain people, not necessarily me specifically, but how can certain people support a guy who has been involved in such scandal and has been arrested for domestic violence? Where do you guys collectively shake out on all that?
See, this is my thing. I don't agree with domestic violence. I don't believe anything criminal because I'm a law-abiding citizen. So I don't believe in anything criminal. But for you to knock what somebody does as a profession because of their personal life is something it's ridiculous. Like I said, the whole thing is he's great at what he does in the ring. Those 36 minutes, them three minute rounds for 12 rounds, those 36 minutes, nobody can do it better. And a lot of this stuff is a persona. Understand, Muhammad Ali said it best, and this was in the 70s. Whether they come to see me win or come to see me lose, it's $5 in the seat.
Right.
So it was 80% Pacquiao, but they spent $1,500 right. to $10,000 right. to watch Mayweather lose on a fight that he couldn't lose.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like, anybody that knows boxing, it was no way he was going to lose that fight in 2015, yeah. in 2010, in 2012. It was no way he could lose.
I heard a lot of people say, if this fight was 5 years ago, I think Manny Pacquiao would win.
No way he could.
What is that?
It's no way he could lose. But I never wanted Floyd to fight the fight because it's a lose-lose. Because the excuses that everybody has now would have been excuses in 2010. If Floyd would have fought him in 2010, oh, Manny too small. Oh, Floyd too this. Or it's a lose-lose. Because now, all of a sudden, Pacquiao's too old. And Floyd is 38 and Pacquiao is 36. I don't understand that Pacquiao is too old. He waited till Pacquiao got old. Exactly. You thought his age stopped.
Right.
He's Benjamin Buttons. He's going in reverse. Yeah. Right. What I mean, he's right. 38 years old. You know what I'm saying? So all of that is ridiculous. They just won't want to get a man credit. Now, what he does outside the ring, that's something different. That's for the law to deal with. That's for anybody to deal with. You don't have to like nobody personally. It's a lot of people I don't like personally. Mm. You know what I'm saying? But
you still respect their craft.
I respect their craft. And they only knock him because he's him. You know what I'm saying? Because, you got guys that get charged for rape cases and this, that. But if they have 40 touchdowns, i.e. Ben Roethlisberger, the next year, it's fine.
We hate the Steelers here. I'm sleeping all day.
I definitely have to see that. But I understand. People, so yeah, he got, you know what I'm saying? People talked about him raped twice.
Yeah, he got accused twice.
It's twice. You know what I'm saying? Mike Tyson only got one accusation. They done buried him.
And Mike Tyson still claims he never did that.
But they got Mike Tyson with one accusation. They done buried him. Ben Roethlisberger still living the high life, getting $100 million contracts after two rape. Somebody said, allegedly. But they don't hold that against him.
But see,
they just say he's a football quarterback. So while Floyd's domestic, whatever happened, whatever, you let the law deal with that and enjoy what he does in the ring. In the ring,
professional.
He's professional. Mm-hmm. That's why Floyd comes in. He don't have no bad habits. So they got to pick apart something. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? He don't drink. He don't smoke. He's flashy, but he don't do none of that. And he's 150 pounds, 147 pounds. He can make weight 8 months before the fight.
Yeah,
because that's what he does. His vice is going to the boxing ring and, you know what I'm saying, sparring. So he's always in shape. So they need something to pick about him because he's so-called a bad dude outside the ring. But enjoy his craft and understand that if you expected an all-out slugfest, you don't know what you're watching in boxing. I knew it was going to happen the exact same way it did, and I told people that 5 years ago, and I was right again. And if they fought 100 times, it's going to be the same way.
Right. Mike, what was you going to say? You had something to say.
No, I was going to say, you know, with the domestic violence and all of that, it's always in any contest, basketball, football, you know, whatever, we even golf, pool, it's always a bad one and a good one.
Good versus evil. That's
good versus evil. Which one you're going to vilify, mm-hmm. and which one are you going to pull down? You know what I mean? And it's like Vince said earlier, it's an image. You know what I mean? And it's got to be played out there because everybody has to pick their favorite. That's what's going to make them go spin and come out here, and that's what's going to make them buy it on pay-per-view. See, it is kind of like I saw somebody tweet earlier, it's like Floyd is like a magician. Mm-hmm. And I thought about that. I said, wow. Yeah, because he just created some magic. And then he walked away with the lion's share. You understand what I'm saying? And people, it's a lot of different ways you can look at it. So with the domestic violence thing, what I wanted to say was they got to make him a bad guy, kind of. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that they're going to use to do it.
And again, you're not condoning domestic violence by any means.
I'm not condoning domestic violence at all. I don't believe in that. I have daughters and everything. I don't believe any man should put their hands on a woman. But at the same time, we don't know that, for instance, quote unquote, if the opponent has maybe done that.
Or some kind of skeleton.
Some kind of skeleton. It's never been brought out in to the media because it's
good versus
the images.
Right.
You
right.
get what I'm saying?
Mike, you had something
that are created.
To be honest with you. It's obvious.
I think I know what you're gonna say, but go ahead.
Obvious thing that domestic violence is horrible. But look how you're judging him. His job is a blood sport. His job is to pummel somebody into submission. Okay, and in order to achieve that and be at the level he's at, he has to pretty much invest 80% of his time into training obsessively and pummeling somebody into submission. Okay. If you do something 80% of the time, every single day consistently, don't you think that that's going to be the first thing that you turn to in any real situation, any stressful situation? When you sit there and say, okay, I expect him to respond to a situation like we respond to a situation right. when we have regular 9-to-5 jobs, is crazy in his own respect, because his whole entire life is training for a moment that he perfects, and he puts on a hell of a show, and he is a master at his craft, and you see it every time, and that's why he's, what, 49-0 now?
48-0
now. So, okay, you see that, but to sit there and now go tiss, because he has domestic violence issues, I'm not condoning it, but also I would kind of expect that from somebody whose life is perfecting the art of pummeling somebody into submission. You know what I'm saying? Now,
so basically what you're saying is that
if you were Floyd Mayweather,
tend to beat up people, so they're going to result.
I understand why your first inclination is the cold cock, even if it's your spouse, which I'm not agreeing
right.
with.
Yeah, you need to make that abundantly clear right
now. Let's say athletes though. You know what I mean? Not just
well, football. We've seen them with football players, of course.
Athletes, your basketball players, WWF wrestlers, the UFC. You know what I'm saying? It's just what individuals want to bring forth for people to grab onto.
Yeah.
And make an issue. Never condoning it. You know what I'm saying? But also saying that it can be used for people to have this. Well, I don't like them. Mm-hmm. Do you watch what he does? Do you care about what he does? Do you like the sport that he's in? Because you looking at him as a person, but we talking about a boxer, because I don't know him personally.
Right. Your whole thing is about compartmentalization, basically. Exactly. Like, you got to be able to separate one from the other and distinguish one from the other.
I don't
and that's kind of how I feel about it. I want my boxer to be
fierce. I want my boxer to be a boxer who wants to go for blood. And like Tyson, used to knock him out and don't ask questions.
Right.
Now, personally, I really don't care about his personal life, because I want him to be the persona that I see him as Iron Mike, going in there for blood, knocking somebody's heads off. I don't care what he does in his personal life. Not to excuse what he does in his personal life, but that's not what I'm focused on.
Right.
So when you bring somebody's personal life, especially somebody who trains 80% of their lives as a blood sport, you know what I mean?
And you weigh
them on the scale and try to say, you know what? I expect them to reason and have the same capacity for, you know, objective thought that a regular 9-to-5 person. I think that's unfair. I really do.
But it goes to both ends, though. Like I said, nobody's condoning domestic violence. Everybody thinks that's a cop-out. It's cheap. You know what I'm saying? A man beating on a woman, especially a man that's skilled to beat on a man, to beat on a woman, it's really ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But it can go the other way. You know what I'm saying? Manny Pacquiao was a God-fearing man. I hope everybody's a God-fearing man, because I'm a God-fearing man. But what does that have to do with him fighting? Mm-hmm. I care less about what he does on Sundays. Mm-hmm. It's what he does on Saturday nights that makes him important to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what he does when he wakes up tomorrow. Floyd may go to the strip club. Manny may go to church. But on Saturday night, what everybody is paying for is what they do in that ring.
And I think what you just said is important. What everybody's paying for, because
what everybody
this was
paying for.
This fight did record. This fight did A-Rod numbers, as Jay-Z once said. This fight did ridiculous numbers, and it was as Mike Snipes pointed out, part of that good versus evil dynamic. And Floyd Mayweather is going to walk away with like $180 million, and Manny Pacquiao is going to walk away with like $130 million, regardless
of what they do,
of what they do outside of the ring. And people gravitate to that stuff.
What would you do with if you just made $180 million in one night, and that soaks in, and you're what would you do outside of the ring? I mean,
it's hard for anybody to be.
It's a rhetorical question or whatever, but it's like, think about that.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's worth noting that a significant portion of the women who watched the fight with us this evening, which included my mother and my wife, were riding for Manny Pacquiao, and in part because of
Floyd's
bad
image,
this baggage that Floyd Mayweather has, and so that's part of this. We can't make that go away. Mike, what you got?
Why isn't it then, if we're gonna be fair with everything, why isn't anybody going into Manny's past and finding out?
They have his past. He's had infidelity. Him and his wife was about to, but they don't bring that up because he's.
It ruins the narrative.
It ruins the narrative. We know this in American culture. It goes way back. There always has to be a narrative. There always has to be a. We said good versus evil, pro tag, anti tag, whatever you want to call it. It's got to be that because it creates what we want. That's what they pay for. It's a production.
A happenstance. It's a production, and they put it together like a production, and it's scripted, and it's filmed like that. Now we look at it as, oh gosh, it's happening live because HBO and Showtime says it's live. Then tell me why they have 15 practices first, and why they kept having dry runs and whatnot. This is a production. And so when you look at it like that, you can understand why there's a good versus evil. Why they're posting Manny up, regardless of what his past may be. But now he's the people's champ. And then now they're vilifying Floyd, who has probably just as much philanthropic endeavors as Manny Pacquiao, who is known to give away just pounds and pounds of money. You know what I mean? Even here in Las Vegas, he's known for his just generosity. And he has several foundations, several nonprofits, just like I'm sure Manny Pacquiao has over in the Philippines. So you're really kind of dealing with equals here as far as the philanthropic side of it. So therefore, you can see that it has to be a production. You got to have a black hat and a white hat. You got to have a good and an evil here. And everybody fed into it. Like I said, I bought the Kool-Aid too, though I drank the Kool-Aid because of the companionship that it brought. I appreciate the fight for
his magnitude. Well, this podcast wouldn't be possible.
Exactly. I appreciate the magnitude that brought everybody to this city and allowed us to be able to, like you said, have the podcast and come together and whatever the case may be. So I appreciate it for what it's worth in that respect. But as far as the fight that I was looking for, even if it was a technical fight on Floyd's side, he did what he was supposed to do as a boxer, I'm looking at it as a patron. Yeah. I'm a patron of a theater at this point.
Exactly.
Because it's a theatrical production. So therefore, I want to get my money's worth. Now, I done paid for your what is it, the pay-per-view. And so now we're looking for an actual fight now. I want to see something mixed up. I understand that this dude can't catch you. But what happens if he does catch you? Can you handle him? Can you mix it up? Can you have a fight? Can you make me think, you know what, even if these dudes do a draw or a decision or something like that, I'll pay again. That's where I think they fell short.
I'm going to chime in on something real quick also. We are in Vegas. They fought at the MGM Grand. This is Las Vegas. Las Vegas has an image. I'm born and raised here. And one of the things that I was talking about in the barbershop to people was that nobody's factoring the sports book. You know what I mean? Nobody's really talking about that. So it's like the majority of the bets were bet on Manny. Right? So the book is not gonna want to pay out that amount of money.
Well, the book's job is to get equal money on both sides.
Right.
That's what they're designed to do.
Right. Exactly. Get it.
Get it how you live.
Right.
And not pay it out. Absolutely.
Exactly. But nobody really factored that part in. And I was just like, from the jump, like, come on, man. Like you said earlier, Vince, It's no contest.
It's no contest.
10 years ago, 5 years ago, whatever.
It's no contest.
Well, let me take this into a different direction. There's a few other things I want to touch on before we move on, because if we got time, I want to get into the NBA playoffs. But again, Mike Snipes, you born and raised in 702.
Right.
Mike, you've been living in Vegas for about 15 years. You've been around, both of you, for many a title fight. Vince, you've come to visit for many a title fight. Right. All-Star Weekend, stuff like that. We haven't hit the strip yet, but we will be hitting the strip after the podcast. Having said that, to all three of you guys, matter of fact, where does this event rank in the pantheon of Vegas events? How does the atmosphere within the days and weeks leading up to this event differ from some of the events that you guys have seen in the past? You guys have seen Tyson fights, you've seen other Floyd fights, you've seen All-Star games. How has this been different, or has it been different?
Well, I'm just going to say, based off of my 15 years here, it has not so far lived up to the All-Star. I think All-Star had it blown away just because of the sheer volume of people that were here. I think it was a lot of hype, but was deflated right before the fight when the real numbers came out. They found out the city wasn't actually sold out and the fight wasn't actually sold out. And when the truth was sold, I think the numbers reflected. We went out last night, we saw a little bit of crowd, but it was nothing like some of the...
We seen some stuff last night.
We seen
a little bit of ignorance last night. Not a lot of ignorance, but a little bit.
I've seen much more, which is, you know what, not that I want to see that. You know what I mean? I like for everybody to have a good time in the city and come and enjoy themselves and go the hell home without incident. Right. But I'll be honest with you, I don't think it ranks very high.
But you guys were telling me yesterday that, like, All-Star game, y'all was like shoulder to shoulder with people on the sidewalk.
It was crazy.
Right? And that was about 10 years ago almost. Yeah. Right?
And All-Star game was kind of out of nowhere with it. You know, we knew about All-Star and how people show out and whatnot, but it was almost like a culmination of everything when All-Star came, because everybody came from every corner of the country,
everywhere basically,
and everybody was trying to outfloss one another. So you just saw ridiculousness for All-Star. You didn't really see that as much here.
First off, you gotta like look at the history of boxing in Las Vegas. Back in the days, you know, my parents used to go to fights, and then we could watch them on regular TV. So it wasn't no pay-per-view or none of that. You know what I mean? You just turn on a channel, and that was showing the fight. Wild World of Sports or something. Right, but to me, the hype was more of the pinnacle, just the hype surrounding it. Finally, it's gonna happen, the big dramatic, you know, dun 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 to it.
Right,
but as far as a boxing match, it doesn't rate when Tyson used to fight. Tyson used to bring him out.
But isn't there like a certain electricity?
Of course,
for an event like this,
yeah,
that you think maybe different
all the time.
Yeah,
all the time, and it is a different thing, and you know, up into the build up, maybe starting on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you start, you know, you go out, you see more people, you go to the mall pack, you go to certain places, and you just see that's different. And then for it's us, you know what I mean? That's what's so.
Well, there's a lot of black folks in here, and even my father told me himself, he said, you know what, I went to the grocery store, and there was a lot of black folks at the grocery store, and there's not a very large segment of the black community in Las Vegas.
Right.
Is that fair to say? Absolutely. From a sheer number standpoint? So I think that's one thing. And then the other thing I want to ask you guys collectively too is, matter of fact, I'm just going to play a quick game with you. I'm going to just play fill in the blank.
Okay.
Floyd Mayweather Jr. is the pound for pound best boxer since?
I would say, me personally, because I'm a fight guy, I would say Roy Jones in his prime. I would say a prime Roy Jones, not the Roy Jones that was getting knocked out by Tarver. Everybody looks at, and that's the reason necessarily I'm a Floyd fan. I love Floyd, but because I love his craft. But I'm a Pacquiao fan, like you said. I like what Pacquiao does. But this is the reason why I wanted Floyd to win so bad. Because if he lost this fight, besides many, they would have questioned his legacy. And you can't question the legacy off of one fight. And that's what they're doing with Roy Jones. Roy Jones was great for 40-something fights.
Yeah. He's about 43-0, something like
that. Yeah, but then, you know what I'm saying? He got knocked out, and this, that happened, and he was past his prime. But people don't understand. He went up to heavyweight.
Yeah.
Fought at 195.
Beat John Ruiz.
Beat John Ruiz. Usually fights at 170, 175. gained 20 pounds of muscle. This is not a fat dude. Now you have to lose 20 pounds of muscle and still think your reflexes are going to be the same. And then once he gets knocked out, oh, he fought a whole bunch of tomato cans. His career means nothing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? The other 47 fights against great competitors, against Hall of Famers that he destroyed, means nothing. Now,
let me just point this out, though. So my question was, Floyd Mayweather Jr. is the best pound-for-pound fighter since ... So what you're saying is that you think prime Roy Jones Jr. is at least on par with Floyd Mayweather. I think Floyd Mayweather is better than Roy Jones.
I would say that. Because the reason why Floyd Mayweather better than a lot of fighters, you know what I'm saying? I love Sugar Ray Leonard. But Floyd Mayweather is offensive and defensive. A lot of fighters
They don't give him credit for his offense, though.
They don't give him credit for his offense because his offense is picked now. You know what I'm saying? Because he doesn't have the Floyd Mayweather in his beginning. I went to go see Floyd Mayweather at the Bannondale Arena in Michigan. You know what I'm saying? In Grand Rapids. People was before he started fighting in Vegas and stuff. So people don't understand that he was an offensive fighter when he was coming up. He threw combination or whatever. But he comes from a defensive pedigree. He says father, his uncle, Roger, Floyd Senior. There's a defensive pedigree. So he learned the defensive part. So when he realized that I can hit you less than I need to and not get hit and still win fights, that's what turned him into the fighter he is now. Plus he's had bad hands forever. The ones of the fights I went to watch him fight, I sat next to one of his sparring partners. He said, "Oh, Floyd broke his right hand in training camp, and then he broke his left hand in the fight. So he had two broke hands, and he still won the fight." Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So
they don't give him credit.
For his toughness either. Mm-hmm. And I've watched plenty of boxers. I had a dude that sparred with Floyd Mayweather, Manny Pacquiao, Shane Mosley, Zab Judah. He said Floyd Mayweather is not the biggest puncher out of all of them, but he's stronger than anybody else in the ring. And when you get in the ring with him, it's surprising how strong he is. And that's what people don't understand. They don't give him enough credit. They don't give him enough credit because his fights is boring. That's what they say. But he's a boxer. It's a hit and don't be hit. So I would say Floyd Mayweather is the best fighter since Roy Jones in his prime. And at his best, he's better than Roy Jones. If you want to go back, I would say Floyd Mayweather is the best fighter in his prime since Sugar Ray Leonard.
Sugar Ray Leonard. Now, Mike and Mike, and I ain't talking about Greeny and Golick. Floyd Mayweather, pound for pound, best fighter since?
I would agree. I was going to say Sugar Ray Leonard, but then also I was thinking about Sweet Pea.
That's a great look.
That's a great look.
Pernell Whitaker.
When he was really, really on, dude was like cold. But I would agree with Vince. I say best since Sugar Ray.
Mike?
You know what, actually? I agreed with Vince earlier with the Roy Jones comparison. I noticed a lot of that in the fight today, too. When you look at the body language of the fighters, I think it's important when a fighter realizes that he's a superior fighter in the ring. You see certain things, and I noticed that Floyd did a lot of things that Roy used to do. The dropping it, the no, the talking to him, the taunts to him in the ring, and the kind of just feigning him, and the showing him that, you know what, even at your best, you're still not going to get the majority of your punches through. So therefore, even if you have some power punches for me, they're not going to be delivered. And so therefore, it's going to get into your mind, and it's going to make you a weaker fighter because of it. And I knew that Roy Jones Jr. did that, like I said, in his prime. And it became a point where I remember watching a fight where Roy Jones broke his hand, and he still beat the dude with his other hand.
He did, just like Floyd did.
Exactly, you know what I mean? So when you,
great point.
Once again, you
they both knocked people out with body shots before.
Exactly, you know what I mean? So when you understand that you are superior, so to speak, in the ring, then it doesn't so much mean that you have to be the biggest power puncher. You have to be the biggest, all you have to do is avoid being hit, get your shots in, you're going to still win, and you're going to be the superior fighter.
I was just passed a note from our, I guess they're now our podcast producers. I was just passed a note that says that Freddie Roach apparently claims that Manny Pacquiao re-injured his shoulder in the third round of the fight. Were you guys aware of this? I was not aware of this news. That sounds lame to me.
They want to make another $120 million.
That's what it sounds like to me. They want to cash in again.
It's to justify the performance
exactly
to get $120 million to say that
we can do it again. We can do it again when he's not injured.
Exactly. We can do it again, but
But Manny wasn't throwing in the first two rounds.
No, he wasn't.
So that excuses
his whole punch output went way down. But I wanted to pick up a point what Mike was saying, where, you know, you think about Jordan, right? When Jordan had a certain game. But then when he got older in the game, you know what I'm saying, he changed his game a little bit, but it was still sufficient. It was still...
A little more finesse.
And he was still winning rings. Yeah. You understand what I'm saying? Agree with what Vince was saying, it's like, as you progress, you get a little more refined.
You have to. That's in everything of life. Do I do what I'm 39 years old. Do I do what I did at 25?
No.
And I hope nobody does.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I hope you ain't supposed to do it. You're not supposed to do it. It's no benefit from experience.
Nas called that living in your second child.
Exactly.
That's fire. That's fire.
But you know what I'm saying?
That went in on the podcast.
Yeah, shout out to my nigga Nas. But you know what I'm saying? It just, you have to grow and you learn. And from a connoisseur of the sport, he's been around the sport his whole life. For you to be doing something in 1998 or 2000 and doing the same thing in 2015, that means you haven't progressed. You know what I'm saying? And that means the people that handle you, your trainers, which was his father and his uncle, haven't taught you anything. I never want to see somebody stagnant in what they do 15 years later. Mm-hmm. Like Jay-Z said, you want to buy my first album. You know what I'm saying? I've grown. This is something different.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? This is a different Floyd Mayweather than the combination puncher. This is the Floyd Mayweather that gets $300 million for a night and shuts out a Hall of Famer and makes him land 81 punches. The guy that everybody been talking about that was going to destroy him for years. Now we need a bad shoulder and we need all this stuff to justify the performance because Floyd makes him do that. But that's not the first Hall of Famer he did that. Like I said, Manuel Marquez is a Hall of Famer. And he landed 69 punches against Floyd. So Manny Pacquiao bested him by 12 punches. You know what I'm saying? But you don't land punches against him. And that's why I thought the fight, if it happened in 2010, if it happened now, it would never be a competition. Because Floyd does something that nobody does in the ring.
Absolutely. Now, one other thing I wanted to point out. I was thinking about the Hov line when you said that. I think the Hov line was everybody saying they want the old Hov, but the new and Pooh Hov better than Albert Pujols.
Yeah.
but Yahoo.com named their top 25 fighters in boxing history. Did you guys see this?
Yeah. A little bit.
I pulled this just for the podcast, just to get a quick thought on it, and then we got to move on to some basketball before we run out of time.
Okay.
But coming into tonight's fight, Manny Pacquiao was tied for 22nd all time. Okay. Floyd Mayweather was 19th all time. 19th all time fighter. Now, and that's trailing such notable fighters. And most of our listeners probably don't know some of these fighters. I ain't gonna front. I don't even know some of these names. But
I probably will.
But number 18 was Jack Dempsey. Number 16 was Sweet Pea Whitaker. Number 15 was Jack Johnson. Yeah. Number 11 was Archie Moore.
Jack Johnson was 15?
Jack Johnson 15. Gosh. Archie Moore was number 11. Wow. Sugar Ray Leonard, number 8. Joe Louis was tied for number 6. Roberto Duran was number 5. Muhammad Ali was number 3. Mm-hmm. Henry Armstrong, number 2. Sugar Ray Robinson, number 1.
Sugar Ray Robinson is number 1 on my list.
Sugar Ray Robinson fought like 300 fights.
Sugar Ray Robinson is number 1 on my list. And Sugar Ray Robinson won like 83 fights in a row. It's ridiculous. Like, it's unheard of. Like, you won like 83 fights in a row.
Really? People like Jake LaMotta, like not bums.
Yeah, he beat Jake LaMotta like 5 out of 6 times. They like fought like 6 times. But, like, you know what I'm saying? I think that's unjustified because they don't like his fighting style. I think he should be higher on the list. But it's a lot of people. Jack Johnson at 15?
Yeah.
Wow. Exactly. Like, really? Like,
well, Jack Johnson faced a whole bunch of other issues outside of the ring.
But like Jack Johnson at 15, But Jack Johnson at 15 is kind of ridiculous. It's people that don't know the sport. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But I understand where they're coming from. On the penalty. It's subjective.
It is.
You know what I'm saying? Subjective. It's subjective. Like, when watching pro football, like I said, I was born in 76. I've been watching pro football since like 80, since I was like 4 years old. And to me, the greatest football player I've ever seen was the greatest running back I've ever seen was Barry Sanders with Walter Payton right behind him, in my opinion.
Right,
and subjective.
I'm about 10 years younger than you, and I didn't get to see Walter Payton.
Yeah,
exactly. I saw Barry Sanders, though.
And that's subjective.
And Barry Sanders is the greatest I've ever seen.
But my father says Jim Brown, and most people say Jim Brown, and I watch Jim Brown, and on tape, he's the greatest football player that ever played football. Not the greatest running back, he's the greatest football player that ever put on pads. But it's subjective because you want to go to your era and you want to say what you want to say about things. So I think Floyd has had a slight in that period. But he's going to get the slight because, you know what I'm saying, what they looking for, he's not on that list. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They looking for all action or whatever. He's just a smart fighter that wins fights and wins fights convincingly and does it in his own way. You know what I'm saying? So you have to put it in the
you think he's top 10?
I think he's top 10.
Pound?
I think
what you guys think?
Can I say this?
Go ahead.
I think that Floyd Mayweather is the number one most successful fighter of all time. As an
monetarily, absolutely.
As an ex-banker, if you make $200 million in one fight, you have nobody else in the history of boxing. Probably, if you probably add all the verses,
I would say
has made that.
As an athlete, I mean, he just made in one night what people try to get signed for like a multi-year contract.
10 years.
You understand what I'm saying? Making certain amount of millions every year. He just made that in one day. So he's the ultimate athlete,
that one, absolutely.
You know, when they were saying Tiger Woods was pushing $1 billion to become a billionaire golfer, you know, that's huge. Tiger Woods do that, you're getting close. You got this guy that's on pace to do the same thing in boxing.
And he's 48 and up.
Yeah, he's a blood sport where your intelligence means nothing.
So it surpasses, if you look at it monetarily, surpasses all the other athletes. It's the pinnacle of being an athlete.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Yo, Cannabis, man, what's up, man? I caught you on that cut with Wycliffe, man. You were booming, but I caught these foul, slouch-ass niggas, you know me, talking foul about you the other night on the corner of the boulevard, man. I wasn't with that, but I ain't know you well enough to defend you, though, right? But you seem like you got true game. But peep game, man, they've been playing me all my life, man. You know, I won a title a couple of times, did right. You know me, but they can't hurt us, man. We're going to do it. Get up in this ring, man. Put on these gloves. Let me show you how to handle yourself, man. You don't got nobody out there with you. I got to show you, man. Get up in there. Move that head, man. Come on to me, man. But when you come, man, you gotta come for blood, man. Come up to me, man. Come on, bust that nigga hole, man. Them niggas talking that shit about you. Hey, Mike Tyson here speaking with the Cannabis Man over here. Yo, Cannabis, your main objective out here is to do nothing but eat MCs for lunch, breakfast. Hey, man, they've been playing me all my life, man. You know, I won a title a couple of times, did right. But they can't hurt us, man. We gonna do it. Get up in this ring, man. Put on these gloves. Let me show you how to handle
it.
Yo, I'ma
let the world know the truth. You don't want me to shine. You study my rhyme, then you laid your vocals at the mine. That's a bitch move. Something that a homo rapper would do. So when you say that you platinum, you only dropping clues. I studied your background. Read the book that you wrote. Researched your footnotes about how you used to sniff coke. Fronting like a drug-free role model. You disgust me. I know bitches that see you smoke weed recently. You walk around showing off your body cause it sells. Plus to avoid the fact that you ain't got scales. Mad at me cause I kick that shit real, niggas spell. Why 99% of your fans wear high heels. From Ice-T to Kumo D to Jay-Z. Now you wanna fuck with me? You must be crazy. You dripping with whack juice and you can't get it off. You better be prepared to finish what you start, nigga.
You just hold it right there. We got a legal wall, the fighter, the trucks. If I see one more though, you're out of here, fella. You understand? You'll be disqualified. Stop being a bitch. We came to see a fight.
Yo, Cannabis, man, you gotta hit harder than that, man. You don't want no bitch ass niggas hanging out with me, man. We're warriors, man. When we go into battle, we come out. Don't come out at all.
Yo, you better give me the respect that I deserve. Or I'ma take it by force. Blast you with a 45 cord. Make you somersault. Shock you with a couple 100,000 ball thunderbolts. Before you wanted a war. Now you wanna talk. It's about who strikes the hardest, not who strikes first. That's why I laugh when I hear that whack ass verse. That shit was the worst rhyme I ever heard in my life. Cause the greatest rapper of all time died on March 9th. God bless his soul. Rest in peace, kid. It's because of him. Now at least I know what beef is. It's not what I would call this. See, this is something different. A faggot nigga trying to make a living off of dissing. Somebody that he gotta know is better than him. But he feeling himself cause he got more cheddar than him. Well, let me tell you something. You might got more cash than me, but you ain't got the skills to eat a nigga's ass like me. And if you really wanna show off, we could get it on live in front of the cameras on your own sitcom. I let you kick a verse. Fuck it, I let you kick them all. I'll even wait for the studio audience to applaud. Now watch me rip the tap from your arm. Kick you in the groin. Stick you for your Vanguard award in front of your mom. Your first, second, and third born. Make your wife get on the horn. Call Minister Farrakhan so he can persuade me to squash it. I say, nah, he started it. He forgot what a hardcore artist is. A hardcore artist is a dangerous man, such as myself. Train to run 20 miles of soft sand. On or off land. Programmed to kick hundreds of balls off land from a lost and forgotten land. You done did it, man. You done spit it, some wax shit it. And probably thought that because it's been a minute, I forget it. Fuck that, cause like Common and Cube, I see the bitch in you. And I'ma make the world see you too, motherfucker.
preseason podcast of the year. Let's talk a little basketball, y'all.
Let's talk basketball.
Let's talk basketball, because this was a hell of a day in sports, y'all. My man CP3. CP3, y'all know I love C. Anybody that follows Hip Hop Sports Report or HipHopSportsReport.com, y'all know I ride for CP3. Chris Paul's been my favorite. You know, I'm a Cavs fan because I'm from Cleveland, but Chris Paul's been my favorite non-Cavs players for about 5-6 years, something like that. And I feel like he never really got his just due. People were screaming that he wasn't a winner and that he, you know, his legacy was in question and all this other type of stuff. And I can understand that simply because if you want to look at it in a black and white context of, you know, he hasn't won any championships, he's been in the league for almost 10 years and had not been to a conference finals yet, but yet he's considered to be one of the top three players in the league by a lot of people. So I get all that, but even though he just won a first round series today, I think what we saw from his performance tonight said a lot. For those of you who may not know, Chris Paul pulled his hamstring in the first quarter, missed the rest of the first quarter, like he missed a few minutes in the first quarter, missed over half, I think, of the second quarter, came back on a bad wheel, was clearly favoring it the entire game. The San Antonio Spurs were specifically running offensive sets to try to take advantage of his defensive liability with his hamstring. He couldn't fight through picks. He couldn't do a lot of stuff. They were deliberately trying to take away Paul's quickness. And Chris Paul still responded with the signature performance of his soon-to-be Hall of Fame career as of this point. He finished 9-13 from the field, 27 points in 37 minutes. He hit 5 out of 6 three-pointers, made all 4 of his free throws, dished out 6 assists, turned the ball over only one time in the Clippers' 111-109 victory over the defending champion Spurs. They knocked out the defending champions in the first round, y'all. It was one of the best playoff series I've seen in a long time, and it was one of the best single-game performances I've seen by a player in a long time, because Chris Paul, the way he battled through that injury, and I even told my brother, I think, during the game that it was like a Willis Reed type moment. And the funny thing about Willis Reed is anybody that is a basketball historian knows that Willis Reed came out and scored 2 baskets and basically didn't do nothing for the rest of the game. But and Kenneth Hicks, author Kenneth Hicks, is now joining the podcast for the basketball segment of the show. Go ahead and take a seat, Kenneth.
What's happening, everybody?
What's happening?
Not much.
We're just talking a little CP3 and the Clips. And about how Willis Reed back in the 1970 NBA Finals came out on one leg, was inspirational and all that. But he only scored like 2 buckets in that game, and then he basically went out. And then Walt Frazier had like 37 points and 15 assists, and nobody remembers that. Chris Paul was on one leg, but he was willing his team to victory. I think, Mike, was it you that said, Mike Snipes, was it you that said that he willed his team? Somebody said, was it you, Kenny? Somebody used the phrase, he willed his team to victory. That's exactly what he did tonight.
I'd like to take credit for it, but it wasn't me.
Fair enough. He comes right into the podcast and takes credit. Thoughts on, overall, quickly, on the first round as a whole, and on the Spurs and Clippers series, which is by far the best series of the first round. Gentlemen, the floor is yours.
On the first round as a whole, I'm going to go with not many surprises. For me, it was a surprise to me that Brooklyn took Atlanta, how deep they were, because I thought Brooklyn really didn't belong in the playoffs, and I thought Atlanta would wash them. You know what I'm saying? I was surprised. I was really surprised. But I have my doubts about Atlanta anyway.
Yeah,
a lot of people have had their doubts about, they thought Toronto series was going to go a little different in Washington. I kind of figured that it was going to happen. I didn't know it was going to be a sweep, but I kind of figured that Washington would take Toronto out. I picked the Spurs over the Clips. I actually picked Dallas over Houston.
I did too.
Yeah. I picked the Spurs over the Clips. And pretty much those are the only 2 series that I lost. You know what I'm saying? The Spurs over the Clips. And as we go today, is I'm a CP3 fan.
I left out the part that Chris Paul hit the banked in the game winner over the Hall of Famer Tim Duncan with 1 second left in the game.
Exactly. I'm a big CP3.
I left that part out.
I'm a big CP3 fan, but I ride with the Spurs. You know what I'm saying? I'm a Cleveland fan. I got family in San Antonio, so I ride with the Spurs. And I picked the Spurs in 6.
What happened? What happened to the Spurs? Did anything happen?
No,
to them?
They didn't happen to the Spurs.
Nothing happened to the Spurs. They just got beat. They got beat by one bucket.
The Clippers just didn't go away. Like, yeah. I'm used to the Clippers going away. When the times get tough, they go away.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They go away. And this Clippers team showed me some tenacity and not going away. But for anybody that has a problem with CP3, like, CP3 has been one of the best players in our league for the years he's been in the league. But people go too much on individual effort. One player cannot make a team go. Yeah. Especially it's in a team sport. You can get your team. He's had his team in the playoffs. So it don't matter if they go to the finals. He's had his team in the playoffs.
That's more than what Kevin Love could have said.
It's more than like Kevin Love could say. It's more than Carmelo could say. You know what I'm saying right now? You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're a franchise player, I mean, it's more than D-Wade could say between the time Shaq and LeBron got there, because they was either the A seed in the East or not making the playoffs. Right. So it's people don't respect that. They individual effort is a lot, but people don't respect, you know what I'm saying, that you need a team around you to win.
And the other thing people don't respect is that, and friend of the podcast, Anthony Houston, points this out constantly. One of his go-to statistics is that not everybody can win the championship. And that doesn't mean you're not great if you don't win a championship. Because in the NBA, over half of the NBA championships won were won by two franchises.
Yeah. The Lakers and the Celtics.
And the NBA basketball been around 60 years.
Yeah.
And two teams got half the championships.
Yeah.
So you can't use championships alone as the only barometer of success.
That's the barometer in the...
That's how it was.
This is now, today.
Right.
Today
is 2015.
Yeah, today is it's always been I need it now. You know what I'm saying? Like... You can't build a foundation. You can't lose, or you can't get better. It's not levels to this. They want somebody to go from last place to the championship. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can't go from last place to fourth, to second, to winning your conference, then win the championship. No. That's too much.
Yeah, and that's typically how it goes with a lot of great players.
So,
Kenny, let me get your thoughts on the first round and or on the Clippers-Spurs series, because you haven't really gotten a chance to chime in yet on the podcast.
Well, I mean, overall, I'd have to say that the first round I was pretty satisfied with it, I have to say, overall. I think that there were a lot of great matchups. I really enjoyed the Milwaukee-Chicago series until game six there.
Oh, my God. Can we talk about the Bucks?
Can we talk about that?
What happened?
Damn.
To the Bucks?
They lost by 54 points.
That's what
they
look like
a CYO squad.
They did.
I mean, like what the hell?
That was ridiculous, man.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was crazy. But, you know, and up to that point, I mean, I never really thought they were going to win the series, but they were, you know, they were showing me some fight. And I was like, okay, you know, and I like Jason Kidd over there, who I didn't particularly like in Brooklyn.
Jason Kidd deserved more. He could have been the coach of the year. Like,
you can make that argument.
You gotta make the argument that he deserved the coach of the year. Like, honestly, do you understand that they drafted Jabari Parker number two and he went down early in the season?
Yeah.
And a team of misfits went to the playoffs,
got the sixth seed
mm-hmm. and played favorite or second favorite to the Cavs, Chicago Bulls team, and puts them to the limit almost every game before they got blew up by 54 points. But they puts them to the limit without the number two overall pick in the draft that they were going to build their foundation around.
And making trades midseason.
I think J. Kidd deserves everything he got. When Milwaukee did everything to get J. Kidd out of draft picks and all that, I thought it was too much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm going to rescind that and say Jason Kidd has proved to me right now that he's a good coach in the NBA and that he should have been up for coach of the year.
Right. And go ahead, Kenny. What was you saying, though?
Well, no, I was just saying that as far as the overall first round, I just think that, you know, I was excited just to have just, you know, real competitive basketball all the way around, you know, and it wasn't, you know, the thing about this particular year is that it's pretty much wide open.
And well, the champs just lost.
Exactly.
So it was definitely wide open.
Right.
Exactly. So if it wasn't wide open, it is as of tonight. So... Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just excited. I wish Kevin Love was going to be healthy, just because I wanted to see what he was going to be able to do and bring, you know, to the Cavaliers in the playoffs.
Just started getting really hot too, man. Damn.
Yeah, just when
just you started, started coming alive,
seeing
man.
Things coming looking, together.
Damn.
You know, everything kind of unraveled, but you know, as the great Ohio State Buckeyes did, you know, there's a you know a next man up mentality. You
absolutely.
Know?
Absolutely.
So I'm just hoping that somebody
are you calling Tristan Thompson, JT Barrett?
Hey.
And are you calling Sean Marion?
No.
Cardale Jeff
12 gauge.
Mike Miller. You never know.
Are you calling Mike Miller 12 gauge right now?
Like I said, yeah. I'm a Cleveland Cavaliers fan. I'm a Cleveland fan, period. But I'm a Cleveland Cavaliers fan. But any team that wins a championship got to go through adversity. I don't like to see Kevin Love out, but you have to be able to win and top. And that's why the same thing with the Clippers. They're like, so what's that's going to mean with Chris Paul having to injure hamstring for the next series? This is the playoffs.
They said he might not even play game one.
This is the playoffs, man. You know what I'm saying?
Time for Blake to step up.
And Chris Paul is a professional, and if he can play, he's going to play. And if he's going to play injured, it's fine, because 60% of Chris Paul is better than 80% of the point guards in the NBA.
Absolutely.
So, you know what I'm saying? It's this where you got to get gritty. You know what I'm saying? It's got to where you get gritty. And I don't, like I said, I don't, you know what I'm saying, pretty much people get injured. I know it hurts, but right now it's no time to cry about injuries.
Well, I mean, nobody should have any sympathy for the Clippers. If you're a Cavs fan, you should not have sympathy for the Clippers.
Right.
If you're a Rockets fan and you was without Dwight Howard for all those games, you don't have sympathy for the Clippers. If you did Grizzlies and Mike Conley's banged up still,
right now,
you're not having any sympathy for the Clippers. Go ahead, Mike.
First thing, I think that was planned with the Rockets. I thought that from the get go.
What was planned?
Them sitting Dwight Howard most the year on his injury. I think that he could have came back earlier, and I think that his performance now in the playoffs shows that they did that purposely. And I think that they're the ones to really worry about in the West. I don't really see that Golden State is going to be as scary as everybody said. I understand how they got the record that they got in the regular season, but like we talked about earlier, this is the playoffs now. And as far as everybody's, you know, because as a Cavs fan and somebody out west who still rides for Cleveland, you know, I often get approached and asked, oh, what do you think about, you know, are you scared of Golden State? Are you scared of the Spurs or this, that? And I pretty much had an answer to all of them, because first thing, and I got to digress to the Cavs, because that's what I watched pretty much all the series and whatnot. And nobody really has an answer for our team. And right now, they're just now starting to realize what we have in Kyrie Irving. And they starting to see the comparables in Kyrie Irving to the number one people around the league that they've been riding so hard. So like the Hardens and the Steph Currys. And they understand that when you put it all together, Kyrie Irving is pretty much right up there with you.
Well, Mike,
he's
Mike,
the same kind of player.
Yeah, you and Vince, we discussed it briefly yesterday.
Absolutely.
But you guys disagreed on the importance of the Kevin Love injury to the Cavaliers.
Right.
Vince, you said that it was extremely critical. Mike, you said not so much. You guys care to expand on that?
Just my elaboration is, I've been telling people all year that Kevin Love is an intricate part to what the Cavs do. And people, he doesn't do much. He has times where he doesn't play in the fourth quarter. But if you understand that he averaged almost 17 and 10 and 18 and 13 in the Celtics series before he went out as a third option, it's first options in teams that don't average 18 and 13 points in the series. Like, do you understand his benefit? And people don't understand his benefit. Kevin Love, even if he doesn't score, even if he doesn't touch the ball, he gets you double-digit rebounds. He spreads the floor as a big man. He can go down in the post as a big man. His outlet passing is better than any one player in the NBA. He starts a fast break better than any one player in the NBA, especially when you got LeBron running the wing or Kyrie running the wing. And people just don't understand his value. And I think it's going to take three or four people on the Cavs squad to actually take his place. And you know what I'm saying? I think it's very, very monumental. But like I said before, it's nowhere to have sympathy before, because everybody is hurt. And if they're not hurt, they're injured or whatever. It's the NBA Finals. It's May.
Yeah,
this if you don't got any no aching pains,
that's
or
Golden State,
somebody out,
everybody
if
seems
you,
to be all right.
If you don't got any
State
aching pains, or if ain't nobody out, it's an anomaly.
Yeah,
so
right.
You have to, like I said, nobody's going to feel sorry for them. But we got the best player in the league and one of the best young players in the league. So it's no excuses for y'all not to win without them. But it's going to take a bunch of veterans like Marion, James
Miller,
Jones, Mike Miller,
right,
for them guys to step in and do what Kevin Love does. That's why I think it's so significant, because it takes three or four people to supplement what the one guy
does. And Mike, what was your point as far as Kevin Love? You feel like he didn't matter so much?
My thing is that I think that the potential of what we have is still yet to be really seen. And I think that my boy Uncle Drew has shown, giving you guys glimpses of what he has to offer. But he still hasn't even turned it on to his capacity. And when he does, he equals, or in my opinion, kind of cancels out your other two that they're talking about with the Steph Curry and the Harden as being, you know, the top ones in the league. Now, I've said this from the get-go. That's our number two. We still got LeBron. Everybody tries to discount him, even with like the MVP thing. Oh, we ain't thinking about LeBron no more. Everybody trying to sleep on LeBron. And once again, you got to understand that when LeBron decides he's going to turn it on, nobody can stop him. There's no answer right now in the NBA for him. And they've consistently shown that time after time. So even if Kevin Love is gone, and I do agree with Vince, he was an integral part of the team, but that's irrelevant because we still have LeBron, who hasn't turned it on all the way yet. And he's going to make up for all that right
there. We still have LeBron. You hear? I hope you're listening, LeBron James, because it's your job to pick up the check right
now.
You know what I'm saying? You got to make it happen. Kenny, break this tie. Is Kevin Love injury super critical, and is it going to destroy the Cavs' final chance? Not that Vince said it would, but is it going to destroy the Cavs' championship chances, or is it just a blip on the radar?
Yeah,
because it can only be one or the other. No, I'm just playing.
I say these are extremes here, man.
Yeah,
I mean, is it significant? I say it is significant. Yes.
Blip.
You know, I look at it when I look at the spacing on the floor. I look at the rebounds. You know, I look at the ball rotation, you know, the open looks, and just the fact that he draws defenders out his bad way. You know, he draws them out from underneath the hoop because of the way that he plays. You know, these are all factors that I think that are important, and I think that we're gonna miss that in this remainder of the season here. You know, especially when you start talking about like interior rebounding and stuff like that. You know, I think that's gonna be very critical for us moving forward here. And I don't know that we're going to have the firepower necessary. You know, if we still had Andy, then I'd feel a lot better about this. But the fact remains that as of right now, we don't have a whole lot of interior big men that can really
KP.
Take... Oh, God.
KP going to come in there angrily.
Let's not talk about
her. Angrily take that... KP, I'm trying to tell you, KP.
You ride for Perk like that?
KP, come
Shaq in the full MVP of the season.
Regulators, mount up.
6'5" Perk.
Hold on. All right, real quick, y'all. We're running out of time. We about to wrap up here on the preseason podcast of the year. So real quick, since we're in the second round, I'm looking for one-word answers, round table, real quick, rapid fire. If you want to provide the number of games, that's fine. Hawks, Wizards, Mike.
I think the Hawks are going to take them.
Kenny.
They're sweeping.
Wizards in 5.
Wizards and 5. Vince.
Wizards and 6.
Wizards and 6. And let me point out that Mike Snipes stepped out for a moment, but I'll take Hawks in 6. Mm. Cavs, Bulls. Mike, go.
I think it's going to be a bloodbath, but I definitely think the Cavs are going to get it. I think it's going to go probably, I think it's going to go all the way.
7?
Yeah,
Cavs and 7.
Cavs
Kenny?
7 against them.
Cavs Bums. And 7.
Cavs and 7. Vince?
Cavs and 6.
I'm saying Cavs and 6. Warriors, Grizzlies. Mike, go.
Warriors going to take that, but it's going to be a fight, too. I think Warriors in 6.
Kenny.
Grizzlies are tough. Warriors are going to pull it out. Warriors in 6.
Vince.
Grizzlies in 6.
Grizzlies in 6. He ain't even got y'all going 7 Golden State. He ain't got y'all going 7.
Splash, brothers.
Splash. Anyway. I got Golden State in 5, actually. I think Golden State going to make light work of Memphis. And Clippers, Rockets, Mike.
Rockets, boy. I think the Rockets are going to take it. I think it's going to go all the way. I think it's going to go 7. But no, I think the Rockets.
Rockets have home court.
Yeah. I think the Rockets are 6. I think the Rockets are 6.
Kenny.
Clippers in 6.
Woo. Vince.
That's my tough series right there. If CP3, I need CP3 at 100%, but I'm still going Clippers in 7.
I'm with you, Vince. I think, and I said on the Rundown Sports podcast that I wanted a mulligan on that Rockets Mavs series because I didn't know that Dwight was going to look like Dwight, and I didn't know Chandler Parsons for Dallas was not going to be able to play. And now here we are with Chris Paul being banged up again. So, you know, if Chris Paul's not able to get right or close to right, then Houston's going to take it. But assuming that he can get back to some kind of relative semblance of what he normally is, I'm going to say Clippers in 6 and have the Clippers and the Warriors in the conference finals. But that'll wrap it, y'all. Live from Vegas, 702 hiphopsportsupport.com, out in the desert on Pacific time. Thank you to all of our guests this evening. Mike Snipes had to step out, but we really appreciate him stopping by the podcast. Mike Hicks, his first time on the podcast. You were fantastic, my man. Vince Hicks, regular on the podcast, always
here as always.
Always holding it down for 216. Kenneth Hicks doing the same. Out in Cali now, but still holding down 216. You know, you retarded to the party, man, but we ain't gonna turn you away.
Hey, I'm just glad to be here.
Yeah, be just happy to be here. He's just here so he don't get fined.
Preseason
podcast of the year. Thank y'all for joining us. HipHopSportsReport.com is the website. Twitter.com/HHSReport is the Twitter handle. HHSReport, you can find that on Facebook as well. And that's pretty much wrapping it up. We about to hit the strip, y'all, because we about to go kick it. Floyd Money, Mayweather, 48-0. We out of here, y'all. Peace.